When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And this is our Wisconsin 2024 season preview. Chris, we are here back with Bucky Badger once again in 2024. And Chris, I'm telling you, I don't know if we were just really sipping on the Luke Fickell juice last year, but we were big time Wisconsin supporters last year. We've pulled back the reins slightly this year, but I think Wisconsin's going to be good again.
Yeah, I do too. I think the Fighting Fickells are, they're going to be a bowl team again. I don't think they're going to be where we had expectations at last year, but I feel pretty good that they're going to be a solid bowl team.
Rajiv from the Bucky Report will be with us here shortly for our interview. Great interview with him. But before that, Chris, let's go ahead and take a look at Wisconsin in 2023, as well as historically, take a look at Bucky Badger. So last year, they went 7-6 overall, 7-5 during the regular season, 5-4 in the Big Ten. Vegas said that they were an 8.5 win football team. We both took the over. Chris, you were at 11-1. I was at 10-2. And we said that Wisconsin was going to win the Big Ten West. We were wrong. That obviously didn't happen. So, but this was not a team it was a team I lost money on. I did. I'm just going to admit it. I didn't lose my shorts over them, but you know, I lost my $10 bet on their over and under for the season. Luke Fickell coming into season number two. Of course, Wisconsin plays at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, 85,000. They have an all-time record of 742 wins, 518 losses, 53 ties, a bowl record of 19-16, and they've won 14 conference titles during their historic run as a football program, Chris. Wisconsin feels like a team to me that is building, and they're building the right way. And maybe it's because we like Luke Fickell and he's a Buckeye, but this is a team that if the Wisconsin fans can just be a little bit patient with, I believe Luke Fickell is going to have the Badgers in the college football playoffs within the next 2 years.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Eric. I'm with you. I think maybe we showed a little Fickell love last year, and he's a great coach. And I like him not just because he's a Buckeye, but because he really is a great coach. He is good, and he is a winner. I mean, obviously the first guy to take a group of five team to the college football playoff. He's going to get Wisconsin there. And when he does, when he starts hitting on all cylinders, the rest of the Big Ten is going to have to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes Ohio State, and that includes Oregon, and yes, that includes that team up north if they're still relevant by that point. Who knows? Maybe they'll be banned into oblivion. I don't know. But, Luke Fickell's a great coach, and like you said, given the time, he's going to get the program where it needs to be.
Yeah, he is. I'm confident in that. Obviously, the Wisconsin fans are a little weary of what would happen to him if – Ryan Day were to leave. He's obviously on a short list, but as you and I both know, I don't know that he would leave, given what has happened.
Well, with the absence of Gene Smith, I think it's possible that he would consider it.
Don't give all of our secrets away.
He may entertain the idea of at least interviewing and seeing, hearing what they have to say. But, you know, it's going to be a competitive process. And obviously, first of all, I think the major step that would have to happen is Ryan Day leave. And I really believe that Ohio State's in a position where they're not going to chase him out of town this year, because I think they're going to blow Michigan out of the water. But even if Ryan Day would leave for the NFL, leave because he's been terminated, it's not going to be automatic that Fickell would get the job. I mean, we've talked about guys like Vrabel. You've got guys like Hartline who are on staff. Chip Kelly. I mean, you wouldn't want to think that, but Chip Kelly, maybe Ryan Day hired his own replacement. You don't know.
That would be so ironic.
So, I mean, there's just Ohio State is, I would say, one of the top three jobs in college football. So I wouldn't worry too much, Wisconsin fans. He may interview, and he would be my choice, but you know what? He may not be Ross Bjork's choice.
Yeah, he might not. All right, let's turn it over to Rajiv from the Bucky Report now, Chris, and get his take on his team. He's the insider. He's the one who's covering this team and following this team from a fan's perspective. So he's going to be able to inform us a little bit more than what you and I will be able to do. And so let's bring him on at this time. And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Bucky Boggs. And as you can see, I'm joined by Rajiv from the Bucky Report, our Wisconsin neighbor in the college huddle. Rajiv, welcome to the OHIO podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on. I love talking Badgers, so this will be good fun.
And, you know, a lot of Ohio State fans love talking Badgers, too, for multiple reasons. Number one, Jim Tressel's great nemesis, right? All those great games in the early 2000s. And then, well, you've got an ex-Buckeye as your head coach over there, and Luke Fickell as well. And so a lot of Buckeyes are keeping one eye open on the Badgers all the time, seeing how he's doing over there. Let's start there, Rajiv. Give me kind of an overview from your perspective, from the fans' perspective, of how year one under Luke Fickell went, and what's the pulse of the fan base there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the pulse of the fan base is excitement. Luke Fickell's bringing, I mean, obviously you guys know, I mean, how great he is. And we're hoping, by the way, you're not looking too hard, because if Ryan Day can't beat Michigan, we don't want you come knocking to Luke Fickell, by the way. But, you know, yeah, he changed the entire culture of the program. When Barry Alvarez started things in the mid-90s and elevated our program to a Rose Bowl contending, constantly Big Ten championship contending team, that was kind of our ceiling. We kind of hit that. And then we had the Paul Chryst years. We had the Gary Anderson years in the middle. Luke Fickell is really looking to elevate us beyond that. I always keep saying that I feel like we could be the next Clemson. I know that's a lofty goal, but I feel like we can be a team that, with the right coach, with the right recruiting, we can elevate ourselves into the championship contending realm, the realm that Ohio State and Michigan live in that we don't live in right now. And that's obviously the goal. And I feel like Luke Fickell has that. He's bringing athleticism. He's bringing an amazing recruiting record so far. Great new assistant coaches. Everything's changing. The marketing of the program. We're taking the program that was already really good, that had really strong foundations, and turning it into something that could potentially be next level. So while year one wasn't exactly what we wanted, I mean, a 7-5 isn't really a great record for us. Losing games like Indiana, Northwestern, completely unacceptable, but that's year one. It's not really his player. So now the transfer class was great, and I feel like we're primed for a good year and growth under Fickell, which is extremely exciting for Badger fans.
So piggybacking off that opening statement about Luke Fickell, maybe go into a little bit, how's NIL and what is maybe Luke Fickell's recruiting chops looking like? Does he have kind of like a recruiting belief or a philosophy that you guys have been able to pick up on as fans?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing Badger fans will tell you is that he's a closer, and that group is closers. And that's not something we really had. We had a pretty weak recruiting department the last couple of years of Paul Chryst, and he beefed that up. We've got a great recruiting department in general, and the assistant coaches he's brought in, they're closing. And our offensive line coach, AJ Blazek, has done a magnificent job. In Luke Fickell's opening press conference, he mentioned that he wants to build the core of his team within a 300-mile radius, but also be a team that can recruit nationally. And that's exactly what we're doing. When not only are we doing that, he's also getting people in the portal. He's building what he wants. He's taking the kind of recruit that he wants, which isn't something that we typically used to get. Obviously, Luke Fickell's defensive system is more cornerback heavy, secondary heavy. So our cornerback recruiting has been amazing. He's doing that. And the most important thing is it's athleticism. That's something that Ohio State has. Obviously, as you know, Michigan, you know, Oregon, those teams have that and we really didn't. And he is completely changing the type of athlete that he's going after. Versatility, athleticism, dynamism, that's who he's going after, and that's exactly what we love about him. And those recruiting chops are showing. It's his entire staff. It's guys that he brought over with him from Cincinnati, like Colin Hitchler, who's now gone, but was an amazing recruiter. The staff is really there. The relationships are there as well. That's one thing that we've heard when we talk to recruits, and it's the relationship building that he's doing is on a different level. And that's why we've been able to close some really great recruits.
So looking forward to the season, Rajiv, what are the main storylines going into 2024 that fans should be aware of for the Badgers?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, it's really about, can Luke Fickell do what we expect and elevate the program in year two? You know, year one wasn't exactly what we wanted, but we saw signs of life. And now with a second year of Phil Longo's offensive system, the air raid, another year of Mike Tressel's defensive system, like a 3-3-5, 2-4-5 type system, can we now take the transfer portal guys we brought in and some of the new recruits and actually implement the system to be successful? There's a lot of expectations for Luke Fickell. That's just what it is, because he set those for himself and for us, and that's what we expect. And the question is, how big of a jump can we really make? You know, the other storyline is really quarterback. This is now our second year in a row of having a transfer one-year rental quarterback. Last year didn't work out so well. This year, hopefully, Tyler Van Dyke can bring a little bit more of what he had in Miami his redshirt freshman year, which would be great. And that's really what it's about. There's so much hype and there's so much excitement, but every team's excited. You know, you're excited. Michigan's, I mean, everyone's excited about who they brought in the portal and the 24 class coming in. But we really believe that we've taken big strides, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And we need to see if Luke Fickell really is going to bring it on the field. He's done it in the recruiting. Can he bring it on the field? We can't have losses like Northwestern and Indiana. That can't happen again. And we have those expectations because Wisconsin is a program that, let's face it, has been one of the top programs in the country, not necessarily top like Ohio State and Michigan have, but top in the country for the last 10, 15 years. You know, we've had in the top 5 or top 10 wins in that time frame. We need to be able to get back to that level and then elevate to the next.
Now, obviously, a big part of that is your talent and talent lost versus talent acquisition. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about maybe some of the guys who graduated or moved on that were a significant part of last year's team, and maybe some of the names that people need to be aware of who are either coming back or were acquired that Badger fans are looking forward to watching in 2024.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we didn't lose a whole heck of a lot, honestly. I mean, there's certainly some losses. Braylon Allen being the marquee name, right?
Right.
He was drafted by the Jets, I believe. He was our bell cow running back, just shy of 1,000 yards last year, has had a great career at Wisconsin. Our not leading receiver, but our sort of like stalwart receiver, Chimray Dike, transferred to Florida. Because he was kind of seeing his touches go down because of Pauling's emergence. So the loss of DK and Allen were big. And of course, Tanner Mordecai was our one-year rental quarterback. So he's moved on. And Tanner Bordellini was our center, really more of a guard guy, but he played center last year. He's an incredible offensive lineman. We've replaced him though pretty well. So there's not a ton lost there. And on the defensive side of the ball, really not much. We did lose a couple corners. We lost a couple D linemen. But with who we brought in and who we replaced him with, Badger fans are pretty confident this is definitely a better team than last year's team. So the losses really aren't that impactful. There was no one guy that was like, man, I mean, yeah, Allen leaving wasn't great, but we've got running backs behind him. And on the flip side of that, the guys that you want to hear about, Will Pauling is number one, first of all. He's our top wide receiver. He had 74 catches last year out of the slot. And Phil Longo loves the slot. I mean, there's a lot of quick passes. And with Tyler Van Dyke now, who's our transfer in from Miami, he had an amazing redshirt freshman year. Amazing. He had like 9 yards per attempt. His last couple years weren't as good, but he's had 3 offensive coordinators in 3 years. So now another 4th offensive coordinator. Hopefully he can really elevate the program a bit. And for the year that he's here, we've got Chesma Lucy on in the backfield, who had 2 really freak injuries that have ended his last couple seasons. So with Pauling and Van Dyke and Malusi, I think that kind of, and our offensive line, our entire offensive line is really good. On the defensive side of the ball.
Always is, okay?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, last year really wasn't though. Last couple years it really wasn't. This is actually a big thing for us this year, and it's one of the strongest units on the team. Defensively, there's 2 guys you got to know about. Hunter Wohler.
Oh, he's good.
Absolutely stud safety, 120 yeah. tackles last year. He's awesome. I saw on your show you had him in your top 10, obviously, safeties, yeah. which is great. And Ricardo Hallman had 7 picks last year. He's our best cornerback. He will probably only be here for one more year because he's going to go to the NFL. He's fantastic. And we brought in a lot of linebackers. That's really where we struggled last year, and now we've done a lot. So returning guys, Christian Allegro is the guy that I'll highlight. Freshman last year came in at the end of the season and really kind of changed the game. Has a lot of speed and a high motor. That was really big. And then we brought in guys like John Pius from William & Mary and Leon Lowry from Syracuse. A lot of talent on that linebacker group. They haven't played together yet, but there's a lot of excitement there.
Yeah. So, and you know, you brought up some of those names who were in our top 10 in our position group previews that we've been doing every week here at the OHIO podcast. And there are a handful of teams that every single week are popping up in our top 10 position groups, you know, Ohio Yours. State, Oregon's got a ton of talent that we're finding in the position group previews. Minnesota, surprisingly, he's got quite a bit of talent in Wisconsin. And then the one that no one is, unless you're paying really close attention, Rutgers.
Yeah.
Rutgers is, and they've got the schedule to go with it. That is just kind of makes everybody jealous a little bit.
They're kind of a sneaky team. I mean, I'm worried about that game. That's one of those games that we kind of highlight in our sort of middle group of not games that we know we're going to win or really expect to win, or not games we kind of think we're going to lose. It's that middle pack of, if we don't play well, they're going to get us. Kamanunga is an incredible running back. And the bottom line is,
he almost beat Ohio State by himself last year.
Right. And the bottom line is Greg Schiano knows how to win and what they're putting together. I mean, they are really building something there that I like it when they're in the basement of the Big Ten, because that we need that automatic win on our schedule. They're not anymore. And that's going to be a very tough game for us. They are really putting together a heck of a team.
Yeah, they are. So now that you've gone through the roster a little bit, give me what you believe the strength of Wisconsin football will be this year. And on the flip side, where is the possible weakness that you think needs to be highlighted and addressed?
Sure. So strength, there's 2 position groups that jump to mind right away. Offensive line and linebacker. Offensive line, we basically returned pretty much everyone. We did lose Bordellini. We lost Michael Furtney, but we're returning our starting left tackle. We're bringing in a guy at center that would have been our starting center last year, but was hurt, Jake Renfro. And he looked amazing in the bowl game against LSU. So our offensive line is really shored up. Now, I will caveat that with the depth is not super strong there. We just lost a guy to a potential season-ending injury that we brought in the transfer portal, Leighton Nelson. And now we've got a lot of freshmen back there. There's a lot of talent, but if there's injuries, that could potentially be a strength and also a weakness. And the other is linebacker. I mean, this was a real weakness for us last year. We had really no production. We had a lot of our guys just get constantly swallowed up by blocks. I mean, I was at the Ohio State game, and Ohio State just kept running to the sidelines time and time again. They just kept running these out, and we couldn't do anything about it. We had no real sideline to sideline speed and the ability to close down the edge. And that hurt us against Ohio State. I mean, a lot of things hurt us against Ohio State because Ohio State kicks our ass every year. But, you know, so that's going to be a big increase for us because of the talent we brought in, because of guys like Jaheim Thomas from Arkansas and Tackett Curtis from USC. There's a lot more talent.
Tackett Curtis was someone Ohio State wanted really bad out of high school.
I mean, that's someone that we're really excited about. So there's just a lot of beef there. And then, of course, the other one is a secondary. Rico Hallman, Hunter Wohler. Nyjer Forkren. We're returning a lot of guys back there. We're returning a lot of guys on the team in general. On the flip side of that, the weakness, number one, first and foremost, any Badger fan will tell you, it's our defensive line. We just really, when we lost Keanu Benton to the NFL, we haven't replaced him yet, and we need that beef up front, because if you're going to let your linebackers do their job, you've got to have guys who can eat up blocks up front, and we really don't have that. Now, we've got some guys who can do okay. James Thompson is one of those guys. We lost a couple last year to Ngio Paez and Rodus Johnson, but that's a weakness, and we did bring in some people in the portal. We have some new guys. Hopefully, that's an improvement, but that's one of those areas. And the other one, frankly, because we don't know, is quarterback. We just don't know what we're going to get from Tyler Van Dyke. We could have freshman Tyler Van Dyke, you know, 3,000 yards. He could have a 30-touchdown season. Or we could get a guy that's just that doesn't fold in, kind of like Mordecai last year. We thought Mordecai was going to be a lot better when he transferred in from SMU. It didn't materialize. He got hurt a little bit too, broke his hand. But that's really that big question mark. QB's a question mark. D-line, we know, is a bit of a weakness. And everywhere else, and tight end, potentially another weakness because we don't have a lot of depth there. But everything else, honestly, from a receiver perspective, linebacker, running back, we're feeling pretty good.
So let's go through the schedule real fast and come up with a floor and ceiling for you guys. So obviously, you got Western Michigan, South Dakota, Alabama, three cupcakes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. The first two, I'll tell you one thing. But yeah, Alabama, I'll tell you, that's exciting. What we really hate is that it's an 11 o'clock central kickoff, which is just ridiculous. I mean, come on. But it's fine. They're coming to our place first. We're going to Tuscaloosa next year. If you're going to have a chance at getting Alabama, this is the year, right? Saban's gone, DeBoer's in, new offense, new defense, a lot of guys that are coming in new. Now, they're still Alabama. I understand that. And we're probably going to lose that game. But I think, you know, it's a game that you could say, okay, maybe it falls in that category, like Alabama, you know, USC, Oregon, games that we're probably going to lose, but we absolutely could surprise someone and get it done.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. Then you got your first bye, and then you welcome the USC Trojans to the Big Ten by heading out to Los Angeles. Any thoughts on that one?
I'm going to be at that game, which I'm really excited about. I live in Las Vegas, so I'm going to be definitely making the trip there. Look, I think USC, we know that Lincoln Riley has great offenses. We know that's there, but we know that their defense has also allowed 34 points a game last year. Now, I know that they brought in a new defensive coordinator. There's some new pieces, but I don't really believe in what that defense is, and I think they are going to get a rude awakening to the Big Ten just in general. I think they play Michigan the week before we play them. So they could go 0-2 to start. If of those really tough games on our schedule, that's the one I really feel like we can get done, because USC is, they're just not used to playing our brand of football. And the bottom line is, if you're not going to have a solid defense in this conference, you're not going to win big games. And that's what they need to develop. That's what they need to have. And I don't know that they're not just going to be able to outscore teams. So I think that's a potential win for us.
We just got done recently interviewing our four West Coast brethren to the Big Ten and interviewing them. And I've had a theory that I've had since we knew that they were coming to the Big Ten that I've been kind of working on. And I ran it by them, and three of them disagreed. Well, two disagreed. One said, I'll think about it. And then, of course, the Oregon guy was all in, because it pretty much summed up the other three teams in his opinion. But my theory is this, Rajiv, that if you're going to play a West Coast team, you want to catch them at the end of the year for two reasons. Number one, travel. They have to do a lot of traveling. Number two, they're not used to the physicality of the Big Ten, and they will get beat up throughout the course of the year. So,
and weather.
But on the flip side of that, it is cold in Eugene, Oregon, and in Washington as well, fair. Seattle, Washington. And even USC is used to playing in cold weather. They go to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They go to Indiana every other year and play Notre Dame. And so it's not like they haven't played in cold weather before. UCLA, that's the one that, you know, but even and then again, they've played Washington State in November, you know. So it's like Washington State's not exactly, you know, the tropics here, you know. So
true.
But I do think that the physicality of the Big Ten, they're not ready for this. Do you agree with me?
I completely agree with you. I think the one who's ready is Oregon, just because they're incredibly good and they have the players. But yeah, you're right. I think all those teams are going to struggle a little bit to deal with the conference. And look, I mean, the Pac-12 was not a bad conference, but it also wasn't the Big Ten from top to bottom. The fights that you're going to be in every week, the teams you're going to be playing, the athletes you're playing. So yeah, and just the physicality.
I got a perfect example for you, Rajiv. What's the one team in the Pac-12 that everybody struggled with? Utah. They're the most big. Utah and Wisconsin are almost identical.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And they've
right.
won the Pac-12 how many times in a row? Like, so it's like, okay, guys, like, you really don't know what you're in for here. I mean, people laugh when it's like, oh, you beat Indiana or you beat Purdue by 7 or 14 or you went into West Lafayette and got beat. It's like, yeah, you guys have no idea that we're on our third string linebacker. Our running backs literally can't feel his hands because they're broken. And this league is tough. It is made for tough guys. I think they're in for a rude awakening, my man. Really do.
It's funny you bring up Purdue. I mean, Purdue in the media poll was picked to finish the bottom of the conference, and they're not a bad team. They get great recruits on the defensive line every year. They've always got top-notch recruits. And I mean, yeah, our conference is good top to bottom. There are some years where you're going to get easy games, and that's every conference, and that's fine. But the physicality is huge, and you're absolutely right. And I do expect them to all have a very tough first season, other than Oregon.
All right, moving on your schedule. That's we followed a rabbit there. So after USC, speaking of the devil, you get the Boilermakers at home. You guys have pretty much had your way with them.
17 straight years.
they want that one so bad. Of course, you know, I'm good friends with the guys from the Purdue Boilermaker podcast that we have on the Boiler Express. And man, they talk about how in the world, like, they want that. That is their holy grail, is to get that win. From your perspective, what's going on there? Is it like, it's an auto dub for you guys? It's just like, we always win it.
Listen, we've had some really tough games. I was at a game in West Lafayette a few years ago where we went into like triple overtime, and we were able to get a dub there. I'm actually from Lafayette, Indiana. I'm a Colts fan with the Colts helmet behind me.
Yeah.
I know that program inside and out. A lot of my friends are Purdue fans. It's been wonderful for me because I have bragging rights with Purdue, and all my friends know it. It's honestly just been kind of freakish. Like, Purdue's, believe me, we've had our fair share of bad losses in this conference, and it just luckily hasn't been against Purdue. We saw them every year in the Big Ten West. They have just simply never been able to stop our running game. They just haven't been able to. The physicality that we bring, they're obviously they always have a high paced offense, and we struggle with that at times. But every time we need to just run the ball in West Lafayette and Madison, we're able to. And by the time the fourth quarter comes around, they can't do anything about it. And that's how we've got it done year in and year out against them.
Yeah. Cool little trivia question and answer for you here, Rajiv, that you can use at the water cooler sometime. Interesting to note, and this is bragging rights for you, by the way, the team in the Big Ten who has beaten Ohio State the most since 2000, not named Michigan, is Purdue.
Yeah, I actually knew that because, I mean, that's shocking. Wild. Some of those games have been crazy.
And we don't play them every year. That even gives it more of a mystique, you know? All right. After Purdue, you've got two road games that are not easy, at Rutgers, at Northwestern. Of course, Northwestern's interesting. I think Northwestern's going to come a little bit back to the meme a little bit this year. And of course, they've got the weird home field on the lake thing. And then some of their games are in Wrigley Field. We play them at Wrigley Field. I guess that means you guys are going to play them on the lake probably that game. Then Penn State at Iowa. So I'm not going to pull any punches here, Rajiv. That is tough. USC, Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern, Penn State, Iowa. And then, oh, by the way, you finish up with Oregon, Nebraska, and Minnesota, dude. Like, this is, I would say, next to Purdue, the toughest schedule in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's something that we've talked about a lot on our show, and Badger fans are talking about. Yeah, it is. And Rutgers and Northwestern are those defining games of, are you going to hit your floor? Because if you lose, you know, that's how you get down there. Or, you know, can you go through those? And then the one thing I will say about this schedule is, on paper, the three toughest games that I think we have are Alabama, Oregon, and Penn State. I'm going to put USC's arguable there, but I'm going to put them underneath those. All three of those games are at home. So that is something that Badger fans are talking a lot about, and understanding that it's Camp Randall. We can get a win. We can beat anybody there. Anyone can beat anyone at home, especially. Now, are we going to win all three of those games? Of course not. But could we? Are we going to lose all three? Probably not. And that's the way that you kind of look at the schedule and say, okay, yeah, I mean, you got to go to USC. Yeah, you got to go to Nebraska. That can be tough. Yeah, you've got these Rutgers Northwestern games, but technically you should beat Rutgers and Northwestern and Nebraska. I don't really believe in Nebraska quite yet. And I think that, so you can also see the ceiling kind of taking effect. It is a very tough schedule, but with those three of the best opponents at home, I think that does raise our floor a little bit more than people maybe expected. Obviously, I'm an optimistic Badger fan, so of course I'm going to say we have a higher floor than other people do. But that is something that we're kind of hanging our hat on with the schedule.
So put some numbers on it for me. What is the worst case scenario floor? What is the best case scenario ceiling in your mind?
Yeah, so for me, 6-6 is the floor, just because, you know, to me, you've got three automatic wins at the beginning, two in the beginning of the season, plus Purdue at home, just because we always beat Purdue, and it's at home. If it was West Lafayette, you know, differently. I think Minnesota, you know, look, that's a home game again. Minnesota, I know there's a lot of hype about them. I'm sorry, but I think the shine is off PJ Fleck. I don't really feel like he's going to make any moves. They've already beat us a couple times, and that's fine. That's enough. So that's four. Then you've got the games against Rutgers and Northwestern, Nebraska, Iowa. So we're not going to lose all those games. You know, Alabama, USC, there's a lot of them out there. So 6-6 to me is the floor. My ceiling is higher than most other people. Even Badger fans think the ceiling is like 10-2 at the max. I think it's 11-1 because those three games are at home. Now, 11-1 takes an incredibly special season. It is by no means anywhere close to the prediction I'm going to have for their record. But if we get Tyler Van Dyke of his freshman season at Miami, if our linebackers and our defense really are better, as good as we think they can be, we already have a really good secondary. Our defense should take a big step up. We've got an incredible offensive line that really can open up holes and allow Tyler Van Dyke the time to stretch the field, which is something we couldn't do last year because Mordecai really didn't have a good deep ball. Van Dyke does, to utilize the receiver depth that we have. It is lofty, and it means that it's got to be perfect. So 11-1, to me, that's what a ceiling is. It's perfection, as good as you can do. 11-1, floor 6-6.
Okay. So now that we know your floor and ceiling from someone who's, you know, following this team much closer than us, I want you to give me your expectations.
So my record prediction is likely, it's 8-4. I've always been bounced for 8-4 or 9-3. That's kind of where I believe. But I think we're an 8-4 team, and I don't think that's a good season for given our schedule. Luke Fickell has to make improvements, and he is. And I think that to me is what we're going to be. I think we're not going to beat Oregon. We're probably not going to beat Alabama. You know, maybe we lose to USC, Penn State. Maybe we win one of those. We're going to lose another one along the way that we shouldn't. So that, to me, 8-4 is my expectation for the season. A step up for Luke Fickell for sure. And, you know, just ultimately what I want to see from this team expectations-wise is a better defense. We are historically a very good defensive team, except when we play you. And I feel like we need to get back to that. We have to get back to really being a great defense. Last year was tough, and we've got the players in. Offensively, I expect to have some guys like a young guy, Tretch Kekahuna, kind of take off. It'd be a great receiver for us. So yeah, 8-4 is where I really think we're probably going to be.
Yeah, actually, I'm right there with you. That's exactly where I have you guys. I think you beat Penn State.
I think so too.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. I think, you know, a lot of Penn State fans, two things. Number one, I think that they're all excited that they're no longer divisions. And I think they're about to find out maybe they had it a little bit made as the third guy in the East, you know? That's the first thing. Number two, I just spent some time in Pennsylvania. That fan base is dead. Like, they are dead in their soul. The consistent 9-win, 10-win seasons has gotten to the point where they're just like, there's no juice there. I was 2 hours away from their campus and saw more Ohio State gear from people.
Wow.
Than Penn State gear. And I thought, this is really interesting. So I am super low on Penn State this year. Everybody's kind of high on them. I thought their year was last year. Like, if they were going to do it, it had to be last year. And it just wasn't in the cards for them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that my co-host has a lot of question marks about them as well. He doesn't really think Drew Aller is that great. I actually think Drew Aller is pretty good. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said on either way. Look, I think that Penn State's a team that we always play them really close, and so they're always good games,
but
they beat us. And it's typically, though, as a lot of Badger fans will tell you, it's our own mistakes that continuously get in the way when we play Penn State. I believe that, you know, there is that upper echelon of the Big Ten, of course, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan with the new Big Ten. There's no doubt about that. That's just where it is. Penn State is a team that's they're simply in a tier above us right now just because they have beat us over and over. But I really think that we are pretty much right there where our program is going to, I think, elevate now under Luke Fickell and with our recruiting and kind of rise above them, hopefully. And then, you know, try to do whatever we can to challenge the upper echelon of the conference. But yeah, that game's at home again. We're going to be there. Myself and my co-host and our other good friend from Locked On Badgers, we're all going to that game. It's going to be great. And so I'm going to that game in USC. I'm hoping for two wins out of those two.
There you go, man. I'll definitely be watching those. There's no doubt about that. So Rajiv, thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate this. If there's a Wisconsin fan watching this and they have never heard of the Buckeye Report, where can they find you? And of course, any Buckeye fans who are interested in giving you a like and follow, where can they find you guys at?
Yeah, so we're at the Buckeye Report on Twitter, YouTube, wherever you can get your podcasts. We're out there all over the place. My Twitter's at Rajiv Badgers. My partner is Justin Julka. He's at Buckeye Report JJ. Justin is a recruiting guy through and through. I mean, he's a tactician guy as well, but he does a lot of recruiting stuff on Twitter. He does a lot of evals on those guys. So the two of us together do the Buckeye Report. And I also am a regular contributor on Locked On Badgers. That is like the premier Badgers show hosted by Ryan Herring's, a good friend of ours. So you can find me on either one of those shows.
And if you can't find them there, just go to the College Huddle, call it thecollegehuddle.com. Go over to the Big Ten, scroll down to Wisconsin. There you'll find the Buckeye Report College Huddle page. And it's got all those links he just mentioned right there for you. So you can go and enjoy the great content that Rajiv and his staff are putting out on a weekly basis. Rajiv, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck this year over there in Madison. And when you see Luke, tell him Boggsy said hi, and he'll give you kind of a weird look because he doesn't know who I am. But tell him, hey, he knows Ryan Miller, and then he'll give you the thumbs up, my
man.
Thank
you
so much.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank Rajiv from the Buckeye Report for being with us, Chris. Great guy. Super good dude. Awesome interview. Very knowledgeable. It's kind of sad we don't get to play him this year because I'd like to do a preview with that guy. He was a lot of fun. Okay, let's take a look at the roster real fast, Chris. So we're going to turn it over to So looking at Wisconsin's offense here, obviously, like Rajiv mentioned, a lot is riding on Tyler Van Dyke. And going with that senior transfer quarterback, which so many teams in the Big Ten are this year, I don't want to say as he goes, they go, but he's definitely a huge part of that. I wouldn't worry at all about running back. It's Wisconsin. They're always going to have offensive linemen. They're always going to have running backs, right? And this is no exception this year. But I will highlight on the offensive side, which Rajiv did as well, Will Pauling is one of the better wide receivers in the Big Ten this year, which we discovered when doing our position previews, Chris.
Well, yeah, and honestly, Eric, anybody who watched football in the Big Ten last season knows what Will Polling is capable of. He's a guy who had a very back-heavy season, but man, once he hit his stride last season, he was on. Polling is going to be a big reason that this passing game gets going, you know, should it be a successful passing attack. Tyler Van Dyke, you know, he comes up from the Miami Hurricanes. Not the most phenomenal stats with Miami last year. He did complete about 66% of his passes, which was good. 19 to 12 TD to interception ratio, though, Eric. That's something he's going to have to improve on.
And the defensive backs in the Big Ten are really good this year.
Yes, yes.
Really good.
So he can't be out there just slinging it around like he doesn't have a care in the world. So he's going to have to play very smart football if this team is going to be successful in the passing game. Love Ches Malusi and what he brings to the game. Great running back there. And then, like you said, that offensive line, you just know they're going to be good. I mean, Riley Mailman and Joe Huber there on that right side are tough. They look for them to go behind that right side a whole lot.
On the defensive side of things now, guys, this is Luke Fickell's expertise, as we know. Mm-hmm. He takes three stars and makes an NFL talent out of them. That's what he does. As we've gone through the position groups, Hunter Roller just jumps out at you, man, or Waller, however he wants to pronounce that. That guy is somebody, Chris, who is going to wreck football games.
Oh, yeah.
That's obviously the name that jumps out at you. We'll see what they're able to produce on the defensive line, and of course at the linebacker position, which Luke Fickell is iconic for taking guys and developing them at that position. Now that he's a head coach, maybe not so much, but when he was the linebacker coach at Ohio State, he made a career out of that. So defensively, though, for Wisconsin, I would say solid. Mm-hmm. Not going to hurt you.
No.
But I don't think they're going to win games defensively either. They're going to need offense to step up.
This is a team that, like you said, very solid. I think they will play very, very sound, very good technical defense. I mean, obviously, like you said, one of the big keys is going to be Hunter Waller on the back end of that defense. He was just a beast last season, and he's going to supply that senior leadership. Linebackers are going to be the key. Like you said, Fickell's great at developing them. And I'll tell you, I'm kind of curious to see if you remember a few years back, very highly talented Tackett Curtis, who Ohio State was after quite heavily. He's now with Luke Fickell up at Wisconsin. Yep. I believe he was originally with USC, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
He transferred over to Wisconsin this past season. So I'm very excited to see what happens with him as well. See if he doesn't find a way to get onto the field a little bit as he's in there too deep right now.
Yeah, and like Rajiv mentioned, they're pretty high on him. So, all right, let's take a look at their schedule real quick, Chris, and give our predictions. Yeah. So, like I joked with Rajiv, first three games are cakewalks, Western Michigan, South Dakota, and Alabama.
Yeah, no problem there.
It is
nice to see, though, that an SEC team will every now and then come out of the South. Of course, they don't have the guts to do it in November and going to Wisconsin.
But, right. But, well, I mean, it is preseason, so, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, that might be different come college playoff time now. But mm-hmm. I am super interested to see how that game goes. I think if Wisconsin hangs in that game, keeps it close, that's a really good sign for how things are going to go the rest of the season. At USC, I have that one highlighted. That should be a really good football game. Of course, they own Purdue. Purdue is really gunning to take them down this year. At Rutgers, interesting football game.
That's a key game, yeah.
At Northwestern, I think Northwestern returns the mean this year. Versus Penn State, I think Wisconsin can get them. At Iowa, it's at Kinnick, so that could be interesting. Oregon, at Nebraska, Minnesota. This is, in my opinion, next to Purdue, the second toughest schedule in the Big Ten, Chris.
Yeah, the schedulers were not at all kind to Wisconsin. I mean, obviously, when you look at that non-conference game versus Alabama, and then you've got to immediately, I mean, you got a bye week, but then your very first road trip is out to USC. You know, that's going to be, I think that's going to be very telling for how this team is going to be able to handle, you know, going to the West Coast. Now, fortunately for them, they only have to go one time to the West Coast this season, and it's following a bye week, so they do have the advantage there, I guess.
Right.
But USC is not going to be easy on the road, your first road game. You know, I imagine it's going to be a late game start being on the West Coast, so, you know, that's going to be a challenge. And then, like you said, at Rutgers, that's a game I'm really interested in right there. You know, Shiano versus Fickell, that's going to be a defensive battle.
Vegas says this is a 7-win team. You and I both have them at 8-4. JR says 9-3. Good on JR to go one game more than us. I'm not betting on this team this year. I'm going to stay away from them.
I'm with you. I think they're too unpredictable. This is a team that I think could go 6-6. This is a team that could find its way to 10-2. You know, it's just so unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen with them.
Final thoughts on Wisconsin. I think if, again, they're moving in the right direction, mm-hmm. if the fan base can stay patient, get through this year, schedule makers give them a little bit easier of a schedule next year, another year under Luke Fickell, Wisconsin could be that third, fourth Big Ten team, make it to the college football playoff next season. And I think that's definitely the goal that they're going for, is to get back to the upper echelon of this league. They can do it. Luke Fickell can do it. They got off to a little bit more difficult of a start last year than what I anticipated them doing.
Yeah.
But it makes sense when you go back and you look at last year with the roster they had and the new scheme they've put in place.
Well, they lost their quarterback early.
Yeah, injury to the quarterback, Mardukai. So Wisconsin is a football team that, like you said, I really think they could be 6-6. JR might be right. They could maybe get to 9-3. We shall see. Your last thoughts on Wisconsin.
No, I just, you know, like you said, Wisconsin hopeful, hang in there. Fickell is your guy. He's going to take you to where you need to be. Really high on Luke Fickell, and, you know, I'm very high on what he can do for Wisconsin.
Like, share, subscribe. Really do appreciate your support. It does help the channel. If you're a Wisconsin fan, make sure you go check out the Bucky Report. Great guys over there. Our sister podcast, The College Huddle. They do a great job covering your team. And let us know what you think in the comments. Are we off our rocker? Did we miss something? Do you think we're on to something with your team? We'd like to hear from you. If you're an Ohio State fan, what do you think? Is Luke Fickell waiting in the wings? Are you more interested in Wisconsin because Fickell's there? Let us know what you think, Buckeye fans. We'd like to hear from you as well. Till next time, OH.
IO.
Go Bucks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.